Well, why don't you turn over? You can go over to the book of James, chapter 3, and verse 1. And as I was sharing this message on the power of the tongue, this message I've entitled, Do Words Matter? Do the words that we speak matter? And of course, we'll take a look at that and see, do words really matter? Or do our words matter? One of the things that we need to look at is in Genesis, I just kind of preface all of this with saying in the book of Genesis, God in that first chapter, in verses 26 and 27, he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So you start to ask the question, okay, God is beginning, he said, I'm making man in my own image and likeness. Well, how did God operate? God, in that first chapter, did what? He spoke things into existence. John, in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit. And then it goes on and says, those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. But God is a spirit. Well, what does that make me? I'm a spirit. I live in this body and I have a soul. I have an intellect. But I am a spirit. And I'm made in his image and likeness. So that means that the things that I speak, if God is a spirit, then the words that I speak are not just natural. They come out into this natural realm. But if I'm a spirit, then the things that I speak are spiritual. They impact things in this natural realm in a spiritual way. So we need to look at that. So a lot of times I say this, words that we speak are really the people that are natural minded. We look at words as more of a way of communication, right? But words are more than just communication. Words are meant to change something, to impact something in this natural realm. Yes, we communicate with words, but words are more than just communication. Words are meant to change something, impact something, cause something to change. Amen. Excuse me. What did Jesus say in John 6:63? Jesus was speaking. He said, the words that I speak, right? He said, unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So where God is concerned, his words are always spirit and life. We'd like to say that about ourselves. Now, we live in this body which is corruptible. And thank God when he appears, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. But in the meantime, that's why, because man fell, there has to be, and then Jesus came. He's the mediator between God and man. And so because through Christ, he reestablished this connection, this relationship between God and man. But this relationship or this reestablishing of this allowed us to have access to him. And what? His word. And now he does what? He lives inside me. God lives inside me by what? By his spirit. And so now, because of that, my spirit has been changed. My spirit man is brand new. My spirit is eternal. It's now, we could say, my spirit is incorruptible. There's no sin in it. But what causes death to come out of my mouth? My mind hasn't been changed. It hasn't been renewed yet. But as I become more and more like him, how do I become more and more like him? By, it says, be not conformed to this world. Well, why shouldn't I be conformed to this world? Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says there's the God of this world who's blinded the minds of them that are lost. And so if I don't get my mind changed, if I don't get it transformed, if I don't get my mind thinking like God, then I'm going to think like the world. I'm going to talk totally contrary to what the kingdom provides. I'm going to think like the world, like I'm in bondage. But that's not true. I've been redeemed and brought out from under his control, the devil's control. So now I'm subject to different principles, different rules. And the thing is that the word of God is spirit and will change, literally transform my mind. So I'll start thinking in line with my spirit. So now I've got control, I have control, I have access to God and his word. I can begin to do what? Speak words that are what? Full of life. Full of life that'll do what? Change my circumstance. That's exactly what Mark 11, 23 says. And 22, have faith in God. Or have the faith of God. What is he saying? What does that look like? Whosoever shall do what? Say, under this obstacle in front of me, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt where? In his heart. So I'm two things are at work. I'm saying something, and it's in my lips, it's in my tongue, and it's in my heart. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says. So the connection, the heart and tongue are connected. There's no separation. And when that happens, something's changing. Because that's what it says. It said, if you don't doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. Something that the Lord spoke to Charles Capps years ago. He said, I told my people they can have what they say, but they are saying what they have. And the Lord spoke that to Charles Capps many, many years ago. He said, I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. That's the problem. Turn over to hold your finger in James. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go over there for a minute. And let's look at this here for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 13. Talking about faith, talking about the tongue. It says here, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and did what? Therefore have I spoken. It didn't say, I spoke what I saw. It says, I believed. What do you believe? Now you can believe what you see. Or you can believe what God promised. But either way, you're going to have it. It says here, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are what? Seen. So we're not to look at the things that are seen. It says what? But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. That means if something's temporal, it can change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God's word is eternal. It can't change. He said, my words are spirit, that's eternal, and life. So, this principle here, does it matter? I'm going to ask that question again. Does it matter what we say? Absolutely does matter what we say. Amen. Now, let's look at James chapter 3 and verse 1. We're just kind of setting a little foundation here. James chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm going to read from the King James. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That just means we all shouldn't be teachers, a master or a teacher, because you're going to be subject to a higher, not condemnation, but a higher standard. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. That just means that you're a mature or fully developed person, man. And able also to bridle the whole body. So this says here, if we are a mature person, if we're able to control what comes out of our mouth, this says here, we can bridle or control the what? The whole body. That word bridle is a very interesting word. It means to guide or to hold in check. It means to restrain. So that means if I can control my tongue, that means I can control my whole body. I put it in check. That means when I want to say something to someone, I don't. Or if I want, let's say, if I have control over my tongue, that means I have control over my appetites. That means I don't just eat what I want. I have control. I may want it. Didn't say I didn't want it. Do you want that? Absolutely. I sure do. But I'm not going to eat it. That's the control. Do I want to say something and flip off at somebody? You better believe it. But if I can control what I say, then I put my body in check, right? That's what that means. Behold, verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. So that one little bit is able to control the whole horse. That's something when you think about it. The strength of a horse is controlled by that little bit in the mouth. Verse 4, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever what? The governor listeth, not the ship. So that means there's somebody controlling that ship, turns a rudder, and decides, even in fierce winds, that means in the trouble, in the midst of issues, I can control the direction of my life. I don't have to be subject to all of the problems going on. That's what this is saying. Even in fierce, isn't that what it says? Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds. That means you don't have to be driven by issues in your life. That's what that means. So when stuff comes up, I don't have to be moved by that. What changes the direction in the middle of that problem, what changes the direction? Whatever the governor listeth, I decide I'm not going to be subject to this. I'm deciding to say something different. I'm deciding that I'm not going to be underneath the problem. I'm deciding. Even though the doctor says you can't live, I'm deciding I'm coming out of this. I'm deciding and agreeing with God's word that he says Christ took my sicknesses and by his stripes I have been redeemed. Therefore, I'm not calling. See, this is the problem. People will take and twist scripture. It doesn't say call that which is seen as though it's not. It doesn't say I'm not sick. No, you are sick. You're in pain. It hurts. You don't say what is as though it's not. See, that's goofy. That's not scriptural. But what it's saying is we look not at the problem. We look at the unseen. What is the unseen? The promises of God. And I do what? I believe it and I speak it and bring it over into this realm. And when I do, what does it say? It's like the rudder. Or you could say this, in today's vernacular, you could say my tongue is like the steering wheel in a car. I don't like the direction I'm going. I'm heading in the wrong direction. Turn the wheel, dummy. Turn the wheel. Why you keep going in the wrong direction? Turn the wheel. Change your talk. Change, get your hand on the steering wheel, right? Can you imagine now they have these autonomous cars now? And so you're sitting there and it's saying, going this way. It's, I don't want to go this way. Put your hand on the wheel then. Right? So you can see the point here that if you don't like the direction of your life, if you don't like the conditions in your life, the only person that's going to change it, see, this is here. It says here that the direction of the ship whithersoever the governor listeth. It don't talk about someone else. It says the person controlling the direction of that ship. It didn't say the passengers. It said the one who's the governor. That's the overseer, the person running that ship. That'd be you. You're the one that has to change your direction. You're the one that has to decide, I don't like this. I'm changing it. And you have to make a decision. Didn't say it was going to be easy. It didn't say, oh, when we turn the rudder, we did a 180. No. The ship, the minute you start to change the direction, it starts to slowly turn. Slowly turn. Slowly turn. Slowly turn. Slowly turn. How'd you get where you are in life? By saying stuff. Talking stuff. Or you could have been, you know, again, there's all kinds of conditions in, that people could be born into a situation. They could be in an environment that they had no control over and they were in the middle of it, right? Same principle applies. Even though you didn't have, you know, I didn't ask for this. Okay, great. How are you going to change it? You're going to change it by believing in God. First, the reality of God and that he's willing and able to change it. But you've got to connect with him. How? Faith. You've got to believe God that he's willing to get in the middle of your issue and change it and start changing it. How? Through you. Through the power of your tongue. Why? Because we are made in his image and likeness. Amen. Let me read this, Hebrews 11:3. You can turn there if you want. I'm still going to go back to James. But it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were what? Framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means the things that you can't see, what? Your words are creating things that you do see. Right? And that's positive or negative. If I want something that is of a blessing and a benefit, what do I have to do? I've got to speak it. I've got to say it. This isn't mind over matter. This is spiritual. This is God's principle. See, the world would say, oh, that's mind games. No, this is spiritual. If we're going to look at the principles of the Word of God, God says faith is something that has substance, but I'm speaking something that's not seen into this seen realm. I'm causing something in this seen realm to come into existence. Amen. Everybody here? Amen. You excited about it? I am. This is life-changing. Verse 5 in James 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Oh, yeah. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it does what? It defileth the whole body. And it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So that means your whole life, the course of your life, can be directed and determined by what you say. If you say, I can't, you won't. If you say, I'll never have it, you never will. If you say, I never can get it, you never will. See, there's only two groups in this world. There's the folks that they're the I cans and the I can'ts. There's only two groups. Either I can or I can't. Right? That's it. And it'd be best to be on the I can side. Because God's got a lot of I can'ts. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I made you righteous. I made you healed. So I can be, right? Based on the promises of God, right? So when somebody says, you know, something that doesn't reflect righteousness for me, I'm not part of that group. I don't identify with that. Verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Well, we know that's not, do you? We know that's so. Fig tree produces figs. Olive tree produces olives. Thus, you can't speak negative and expect a positive result. It's not going to work. Because our words are the fruit or the byproduct of what's in your heart. So what's coming out of your heart is the fruit of what you've planted in there. So you can't plant a lot of junk down in here and expect to produce something that it doesn't already exist right down in there. Right? So you've got, how do I change what's going on in my heart? I've got to change, I've got to transform my mind. That's what that's talking about in Romans 12. Let me go back to 12 again here, verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine, figs. So grapes can't produce figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So speaking blessing is speaking life and good. That's what we're talking about. Speaking healing, speaking prosperity, speaking success, speaking peace. Even when it doesn't look like you're a success, you get up and you say, I'm a success. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. God opens doors of blessing for me. I have good success. I'm bright. I'm sharp. I'm a blessing to people. And you begin to say these things. What does it do? It changes your view of yourself. And you start talking different. You start thinking different. You don't go everywhere thinking, oh, woe is me. I don't know how I'm going to get by. I don't know. No, I know I'm going to get by. It may not look like it, but I believe that God is going to open doors of blessing for me. I believe, because this goes back to that principle, I've got to believe that God is. I've got to believe that he exists. He's real. And what? That he's willing to help me, and he's able. Amen. And I've got to believe that. And I got to talk it and say it. And as I do, as I believe that and speak it, then what happens? Doors open. Things change. Does it happen overnight? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But it'll change. They will change. Amen. We're not subject to the conditions of this earth. We're in a new kingdom, subject to different rules. We live in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm his child. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. This goes back to what we were saying, knowing that I'm a child of God, knowing that he loves me and cares for me. See, sometimes we can get so focused. What did it say? Looking not at the things which are seen, because the things seen are temporal, but the things not seen are eternal. Sometimes we start looking at the things in this natural and think, sometimes folks think, it's never going to change. I'm stuck. No, you're not. That says here in the word, things seen are temporal. They're going to change. You live long enough, you know that. Things change. And so what we have to do is start speaking into this realm that we see, and we command it. What does it say? If I got a mountain sitting in front of me, I'm supposed to do what? Speak to it and believe that it be cast into the sea. That means change. Amen. So I don't have to be subject to the conditions. That's what it said here in James. It said, even though that ship is driven with fierce winds, it says that little rudder can change the direction wherever the governor listeth, wherever he decides. We're going in a different direction. And that's what we have to do. When we hit some rough weather, we've got to decide, instead of talking about the rough weather, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, woe is me. God cares for us. And he's put some provisions in here. And here's the thing. If we don't speak and cause that to change, you're going to have some rough weather. It may not change. And you may cement your issue. Because this is, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4 for a minute. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. That word issues means the going out or the extremity. It means the outgoing, or the extremity means the borders. The Complete Jewish Bible says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So that means we can cement some things in our life by what we say. We can create some things, more problems in our life. The Good News Translation says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. This is back to the group, the I can group and the I can't group. Your life is shaped by how you think, by your thoughts. The New Living Translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Amen. It affects everything you do. So we want to be a part of that I can group, not the I can't group. Right? I'm part of the I can group. Now let's go over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. See, always remember this. We're in a new kingdom. We have a new master. This kingdom operates on different principles and rules. What did God say in Genesis? He said, as long as this earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, and it shall not cease. So God's principles, when we look at the heart and the mouth, it's sowing and reaping. You sowed something in your house, in your heart, and it's coming out of your mouth. That's fruit. That's reaping. And so the same process God has established in the kingdom of God, sowing and reaping. And where is the kingdom of God? Luke, it says the kingdom of God, Luke chapter 17, verse 21, it says the kingdom of God is in you. So that's where the kingdom of God is. It's in us. And this kingdom operates on seed time and harvest. So the word of God is the will of God. Or these words that I speak are like seeds. They're containers of what I've put down in my heart. They're containers of faith. And that faith can be, you get over to Proverbs 18, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the what? The fruit of his mouth. So the fruit of the mouth is really what's been planted down in the heart. It's coming up out of the heart, through the mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of what? The tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So tongue is just another word for language. It's the language that comes out of the mouth, the words that we speak. And so these words are either going to be filled with I can or I can't, going to be filled with death or life. Amen. So this, you know, sometimes people are looking for economic recovery. Well, your economic recovery is in your mouth. Your personal health recovery is right in your mouth. That doesn't mean we don't go to the doctor. That doesn't mean we don't get counsel. You know, I've read a number of books. There's a great book by F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth. I forget, he passed away somewhere in the early 40s. And he was born in the late 1800s. But he has a book called Christ the Healer. And he lists 21 reasons why people don't get healed. And there's a whole list of various things. You know, unbelief, corporate unbelief, bitterness, not walking in love. But number five, right at the top of number of the list, was violating the laws of nature. And I thought, very interesting. And he said, there's a reason why people don't get healed, because they're violating natural laws. He said, you can't violate natural laws and then try to apply a spiritual law. It doesn't work. He said, it's like whacking your hand on a hammer and then say, God, heal it. Wham! Heal me, Lord. Wham! Heal me, Lord. So he said, one of the reasons that people don't get healed in the natural is because they're violating natural laws. They're eating things they shouldn't. And he said, some of us, this is what he put, this is a person that got some insight back in the early 1900s. He must have seen some things. And it still exists today. And he said, some of us need counsel on how to eat properly. And he put it right in his book. This book was written back in the early 1900s. And so here's the point. The point is that you cannot violate natural things and then try to apply a spiritual thing, right? You're going to get death or life, whatever you do, right? So this increase, the same thing. People want a marriage reconstruction. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart and in your mouth. You know, I think about, you know, brings to mind, you know, you listen to some of the stories of people that have been married 50, 60, 70 years, and they say, how did you have such a successful marriage? And they would always say, most of them would say, we don't go to bed angry. We resolve the issue, right? So they apply some spiritual things. They apply some spiritual principles. They don't speak negative. I know my parents were married almost 66 years before my father passed away. And one of the things they always talked about is they'd say, we remained friends. We're friends. So after we were all grown, they said, look, goodbye. Now we can spend time together as friends and enjoy one another, even in their later years, right? So you always remained friends and speak wonderful of each other, kind of one another. Doesn't mean you don't have, you know, you don't butt heads. That doesn't mean that. It just means that as you're going through life, you remain friends with each other. Why'd you get married in the first place? You were friends, right? So those kind of things, where are those things? They start in the heart. You love a person, and then you speak well of that person, right? So you reap what you sow. You want to call a person a dog and this and that and the other thing, you're going to have what you say. A lousy marriage. Amen. Goes right there. So here's a few other scriptures. Proverbs 18. Good News Translation. Verse 21. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. That's the Good News Translation. We're going to have to accept the consequences of our words. The Complete Jewish Bible, it says, the tongue has power over life and death. Those who indulge it must eat its fruit. What did Jesus do when he was on the earth? We saw it. He spoke to Lazarus. Rise up, be healed. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to situations in life. He spoke to the water and made it wine. because they had a need. So there are all types of things. Let's take a look real quickly as we close here. Turn over to Numbers chapter 13, and you say, well, do words matter? Let's look at this account in chapter 13. And we know this story here in Book of Numbers, where God told him to go into the land of Canaan, and he said, and look at verse 26 and 13, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation and and of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and did what? They showed them the fruit of the land. So they're confirming, yeah, this is a great place. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. What's the next word? That's like but, right? But, you know. Everything's going good, but, right? But the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, boy, this is the I can't group here, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, thank God, what did he do? Stilled the people. It's like saying, shut up. Right? Stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we can. For we are well able to overcome it. He's part of the I Can group. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight. See, as a man thinketh, so is he. What is Proverbs? I believe it's, isn't it Proverbs 6, verse 2? It says, thou art snared by the words of your own mouth. You're snared. So this is what happened here. They got snared. This says here, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Huh. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. I'll tell you, you know, you talk about corporate unbelief. This is it right here. They brought back an evil report, and it affected the whole group. And all the children of Israel, what? Murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Ah, and you read the rest of the story, they got just exactly what they said. They died in the wilderness. Now, was that God's best? No. He said, go in and take the land. It's yours. Caleb said, let's do it. Let's go. And so, this is something to meditate on and think about. And I'll say this. This is something that should be a lifestyle that we begin to take hold of and begin to change little by little. Am I talking about doing 180 in your life? No. But start looking at those areas of your life that you're not satisfied with, something that you want to change. And you begin to focus on that. This is not something we think about and discuss on Sundays, and that's all we talk about it on, or discuss it, or we bring it up in a message every once in a while. Wasn't that great? Oh, yes, glory to God. No, this is a lifestyle. This is something that when you begin to believe it and work it, that it'll change your life. Your mind is going to say, yeah, right, mm-hmm. You know how they do. Mm-hmm, right. You don't know my situation. No, I don't. But God has put here a principle for you to overcome. And he's showing us how. And what does the scripture say? It says that they did not enter in because they didn't mix faith with the promises of God. So you've got to mix faith. You've got to say, you know what? I believe God is. I believe in his reality. I believe that he's willing, because if he wasn't willing, he wouldn't have written it. So it's written in this book. This is his last will and testament. So it is his will. If he wrote it in here, that means, you know what? It may not look like it's going to change, but I believe God. And I believe he is, and I'm going to exercise my faith in this promise. And I'm going to start talking it and saying it until I see the change. Amen. Because he said, I'm a rewarder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. I believe God. And I believe that his word deposited in my heart and spoken out can change the scene, whatever I'm facing. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, the world does it. They do it now. They just believe, I'm going to do this. And they start doing it. They start talking it. Your motivational speakers do it. They get up and make millions and millions and millions of dollars to pump up people to see themselves as a success and talk it. And we've got it right here, free of charge. All we got to do is believe it and act on it. That's it. No charge. If there's no charge, there's no excuse. So you could have an excuse for spending money to go see some big name. I don't have money to do that. But there's no charge. All you got to do is act on it. So there's no excuse. Amen. Praise God. I'm finished for now. Amen. So and just recapping, our words do matter. They do matter. And they will impact the seen realm if we have to have, and we have faith in two places, and they got to be in both places at the same time, working together. It's got to be in my heart, and it's got to be in my mouth. If it's in my heart and not my mouth, it won't work. If it's in my mouth and not in my heart, it won't work. Because, what does it say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it didn't stop there. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and what? And doubt not in his heart. Got to be in the heart. Can't just be saying it and not in your heart, because you could doubt it. So it's got to be in both places. That's why when people get into situations where their health is concerned, they talk something, but it's not in their heart. They fear. They fear the symptoms, but they're talking. I believe God will heal my body. I believe God's working in my body. But then there's fear in their heart. Or they believe in their heart, but then they talk in the symptoms. They talk in something else. See, it's got to be in both places. Got to be in both places for it to work. Amen. Glory to God. And whether that's health, finances, job, business, you may be a business owner. If you believe in your heart and talking, we're going through a tough spot, we're going through this, blah, 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 then you will. See. These principles will work in every area of your life. I don't care if you're going to college, going to school, you know, you talk like you're a success. Talk what you want to be. Talk the promises of God, and they'll become a reality. Amen.